Faith is something that every one of us express every single day. For example, when you go to the post office and buy that stamp and put it on that envelope and put it into that box, you're putting faith in some people to get that letter from point A to point B. You go to the bank and make a deposit, you're putting faith in some folks to properly record that deposit and to care for that deposit. You go to the doctor's office and you have a diagnosis. You go to the pharmacy and they give you these pills and they say, all right, we want you to take three of these pills every single day. You're putting faith in the doctor that he's made the right prognosis, that he has prescribed the right medicine, and we're putting faith in them for that. You get on an airplane, you're putting faith in the fact that there's been a security check, that there's been a maintenance check, and that the pilot is properly credentialed and prepared. And every day of our lives, we express faith in people in one form or another. But this morning, in these next few minutes, I want to challenge you to grow in your faith expressed towards God. The Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We could say that faith is the title deed for things hoped for. Faith is the substance. It is the living proof for a Christian that God is able. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. And today, as Christians, our choice is, will we walk by faith or will we walk by sight? One time the disciples came to Jesus and they said, why can't we do these miracles? Why can't we see great things happening in our lives? And Jesus said to them in Matthew 17:20, it is because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove hence the yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, we might hear about what God does in some people's lives or in someone's church out there somewhere, and we might just say, wow, I don't know, that sounds like quite a bit. But wait a minute, it could also be that our faith has never been stretched to the point that we're not as mature as someone else in their ability to trust God as they have through the years learned to trust in Him. You see, as children, we begin to learn how to take care of ourselves and how to plan and make sure that everything is taken care of by sight. For example, recently there was a little three-year-old boy named Douglas helping his dad, or his granddad rather, to spread some fertilizer on the front lawn. And they worked at it for a while and they raked that fertilizer. And after a little while, the job was finished and the grandpa put two quarters into the hand of Douglas. And he said, well, Douglas, what do you think? And, of course, Grandpa was looking over the lawn and so forth. And Douglas looked at the money in his hand and said, Grandpa, I think it needs to be done again. And from a very early age, we figure out how to get things our way. But God is challenging us in His Word not to look at how we can get things our way, but how to involve Him in a supernatural way whereby we might be able to step back and take a look at our family, at the restoration of relationships, at what He does in building up this church, and simply say, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. In other words, we don't want to be able to say, wow, look what we accomplished, but we want to be able to say, God was pleased with the faith and He blessed abundantly. Now, the truth is today that a lot of times in our human nature, we want to know all the details with everything before we get involved. But one preacher of years gone by said this about faith. He said, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that thou mayest believe, but believe that thou mayest understand. You see, in the Word of God, God is calling on us to believe Him, to trust in Him, and then He will show us the way of understanding. That's why many people who walk by sight never see souls saved, never see God do great miracles in their lives, never see His work in a miraculous way. They're walking by sight and not by faith. They want to understand before they will believe. But faith enables a believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Now this morning I want to give you three quick thoughts about faith from this one verse, Hebrews 11:6. First of all, I want you to see this morning the priority of faith. The priority of faith. The Bible says in verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we need to recognize this morning that faith produces spiritual life. Faith is something that pleases God and it will bring about spiritual life and vitality. Faith produces spiritual life. For example, if you are in this room this morning, seated here as a Christian, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you died this morning, heaven would be your home. Then you know that because there has been a time in your life when you express faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you stopped trusting in a church, and you stopped trusting in yourself, and you put your faith in what Jesus did as the forgiveness of your sin. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. On April the 5th, 1972, I heard that I was a sinner that fell short of God's glory, and I called out to Jesus Christ by faith and asked Him to come into my life and be my Savior. And when I made that decision of faith, that day life began in my heart spiritually. Though I was dead in my trespasses and sin, I came alive that day through Jesus Christ. In fact, turn in your Bible for a moment to John 3 and verse 18. John 3, 18, John's Gospel. And let's see how faith produces life. John 3. In fact, let's read beginning in verse 16. Most of you know John 3, 16. And it's always a good verse to review, isn't it? John 3, 16. All right. Most of you are getting there. John 3, 16. Follow with me as we read now, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He did what? Okay. So what we're talking about when we talk about giving, by the way, is the very essence of God. Someone says, man, all they talked about was giving. Well, when you talk about God, you're going to talk about giving. For God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now read verse 18 with me. He that believeth on Him, speaking of Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now the Bible says if we believe on Jesus Christ, we are not condemned. In other words, it is our faith in Jesus Christ that removes the penalty of sin. It is our faith in Jesus Christ that produces spiritual life. That's why Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So God's Spirit comes into the life of someone who receives Christ as Savior, and His Spirit begins spiritual life within us. So the question this morning concerning God is this: where is your faith today? The Muslim has placed his faith in the Quran and in Muhammad. The Buddhist has placed his faith in graven images. The religionist has placed his faith in his own works. The humanist places his faith in himself. The materialist places his faith in his bank account. But a Christian places his faith in Jesus Christ. And our faith is only as good as its object. And Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but rose up again on the third day to prove that He was the Son of God. And so we thank God that faith in Jesus Christ produces spiritual life. Secondly, faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. Now the Bible says there in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, when we read this word faith, it is speaking of a living, vibrant, active faith. The kind of faith that causes us to commune with God in prayer and in Bible reading and in church attendance. It is a living, active faith. And may I say to you today that regardless of what you are unable to give on Friday night or some other time, my prayer is that our church family as a body, corporately, would come together Friday night believing that God is able and having great faith in God. And by the way, that's not a scary challenge if you believe He saved your soul, He created this world. If you believe He's the originator of all good gifts, then you can come to Him in faith and in trusting Him. Now the Bible says in verse 2 that by faith the elders obtained a good report. Hebrews 11:39, and all of these by faith have obtained a good report. So it is faith that pleases God. When God sees your heart believing Him and trusting in Him and maybe not understanding it all, but just saying, God, though I don't understand it all, I believe you're able. And so I'm trusting in you. I'm not going to try to understand before I believe. I'm just going to start believing, and I'm sure I'll understand as you grow me through this process. When God sees us having faith in him, he is pleased with that. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, notice then not only the priority of faith, but secondly, the premise of faith. Before we can claim the promises of the Bible, we must enact the premise. We must become involved in this premise that is listed here in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Take note of that. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if we want to see God bless faith at Lancaster Baptist Church and in our own individual lives, then we must first of all believe. We must believe. Say, what do I need to believe? Well, notice what it says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now someone says, well, this is third grade stuff this morning. Really? Do we believe that he is? Do we believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ask or think? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Do we believe that he is? We must come to him believing that he is. A faithless person cannot receive the blessing he might have had. A faithless person cannot do the works that he might have done. We must come to God believing that he is. But then notice, it also says in this verse, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must believe, and then secondly, this is important if you're taking notes, we must express our belief. We must express our belief. We must diligently seek him. We must hunger and thirst after righteousness and for his power and for his blessing. Now may I say, if you're going to diligently seek him, and notice the phrase there, diligently seek him. This thing of knowing God's power, this matter of walking by faith, it's not always an easy thing. It's not always just a snap of the finger and here come the miracles type thing. No, there's going to be testing and trials along the way. There's going to be testing. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And God will allow some trials to come into your life. I remember when we came to Lancaster and took that sign in front of the old church that used to say Lancaster Community Center. And we took that sign down, and Terry and I went to a sign shop on Avenue I, and we put up a sign that said Lancaster Baptist Church. And I was real tickled about that, you know, and thought it looked so nice. And then we went and bought some paint, and we painted up a little office in the basement of the old church, and put some shelves up on the wall, and put my certificate of ordination and Bible college degree, and kind of got it decorated. Boy, that was exciting. You know, within a few days of having put up that sign, someone came by and threw a bunch of rocks at that sign and broke it into 100 pieces. Someone broke into the church and tore those books off the shelves and threw down the certificate of ordination and poured Kool-Aid all over everything. And we were learning in the very early days here that if we were going to have faith in God to establish an old-fashioned Bible-believing church where God's Word was preached and families were helped and people could get saved, that there was going to be some testing before God brought the blessings. And we've seen that year after year after year. But the fact of the matter is that God is calling on us today that we would diligently seek Him. God is not going to just start blessing someone that's half-heartedly believing that maybe He might do something. He is looking for people that believe that He is able. He will not reward the complacent, worldly-minded, half-hearted Christian. He is looking today for a people who say, God, we believe that you are in existence today, and we believe that you will reward us if we diligently seek you. And so many times we are waiting for God to do for us what he wants to do through us once we express faith in him. Now, when I think about expressing faith, there's a lot of Bible characters that come to my mind. And I want to tell you right now, not about some people I know or some great preachers that have preached here, but I want to tell you right now about four or five people from the Bible who really expressed their faith. You'll notice in your notes there a verse, Matthew 2:11. And this verse tells us about the men we often call the wise men. These men from the Christmas story. Remember that a few months ago. And it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, the wise men, when they came into the presence of Messiah, when they recognized that truly the Savior had been born, there was a response from these men, and the response was to express their faith. And that expression of faith was shown in the giving of a gift. All right, another illustration comes to mind. John chapter 6 and verse 9 is in your notes. First, we see the wise men. Now let's look at a little boy. Today, many of the kids in the Sunday school brought an offering for the church building. They were excited. But you know, some 2,000 years ago, there was a little lad. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 6 that thousands of people had gathered round Jesus. And there, as he was teaching them, they became hungry. And the disciples came to Jesus. They said, what do we do? It's dinner time. We need to send them away. By the way, the disciples were focusing on what they did not have, like some of us do, instead of what they did have. And finally, they kind of look and they say in John 6, 9, well, there is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And that's what sometimes people can think. Well, good night. What does Pastor Chapel think? This is Lancaster. I mean, this isn't, you know, some real wealthy place. What does he think I am? How can I be a part? Sometimes that's exactly what, instead of looking at what we don't have, God wants us to look at what we do have. And they say, well, there's this lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And many of you remember the rest of the story. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and by the time he got done passing it out, not only did he feed the 5,000, there were 12 baskets full left over when he got done. All because of a little boy who said, I don't have much. But what I have, Jesus, you can have it. I want you to have my loaves and my fishes. Hey, you think that wasn't God working on his heart? Try to take a Happy Meal from a kid at McDonald's this afternoon. You'll find out what a miracle that was. When the wise men saw Messiah, they gave. When the little lad thought he could have a part, he gave. Mark 12:42 tells us about the widow's mite. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And Jesus, the Bible says, sat over the treasury, and he watched the wealthy as they came in, and they gave a little. But he watched this widow as she came, and she gave all. And the Lord Jesus took note of that. The Lord Jesus saw her heart. And the widow now is known throughout history. Turn, if you would, very quickly to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me share with you the story of another widow. This widow is found, 1 Kings 17. The Bible tells us here of Elijah being sent to Zarephath. Elijah, the prophet of God in 1 Kings, is now waiting on God. And God uses the most unusual way to take care of Elijah. Every time I read this story, it shocks me. The Bible says in 1 Kings, toward the beginning of your Old Testament, chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. How many of you get the idea? This, dear lady, was in dire straits. How many of you, if you were planning up a way to feed one of your preachers, would have sent the preacher to someone else's house? But you see, God's ways are not always our ways. And so notice what it says, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. What in the world? Elijah said, I know it's your last meal, but go make me some food first. And then the Bible says, in this same passage, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went in it according to the saying of Elijah, and so, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of Lord which he spake by Elijah. Here we see this woman putting her faith not in Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. Therefore, she was putting her faith in Elijah's words that he had spoken. Now, we are not prophets of God. We are men saved by grace, called to be preachers. Our word that is important today comes from this book, God's Holy Word. And what we want to challenge our church family to do and ourselves to do is respond to the Word of God. And as this woman responded to the Word of God, God met her need in a great way. So we see the wise men, and we see a little boy, and we see a widow lady. And then I want you to see a church that did the very same thing. They were being a participants of a church offering. 2 Corinthians 9 is there in your notes. Notice what it says. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And so, friends, Friday night is nothing more than an opportunity to express our faith towards God. It's an opportunity to say, "God, we're going to seek you in our praise, in our music, in our offering. We are diligently seeking you in this time in our lives." So we see the priority of faith. Without it, you can't please God. We see the premise of faith. The premise of faith is that we must believe and we must diligently seek the Lord from a heart that believes. And then notice finally this morning, and we'll be done in just a moment, the promise of faith. The promise of faith. Now, this is the best part this morning. This is the best part. And I want you to see it. In verse 6, I want everybody to get a Bible in their hand now. And I want you to see what God's Word has to say. And I want you to read verse 6 with me today. Okay? Hebrews 11, 6. Ready? Begin. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently..." All right, now let's read it one more time now that everyone found the place. And just lift up your voice a little bit and read it one more time. Ready? Begin. "But without faith, it is impossible for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder." Now, this is awesome and I want you to get it. The promise of faith. First of all, God will remember. God will remember you. Now, the devil's going to jump on your shoulder and say, "Yeah, you start living by faith, you're going to be high and dry. Somebody's got to watch out for old number one. You better be careful about putting all your trust in God. God's going to forget you." But I want to tell you this morning that God will not forget you. He will always approve of those that trust in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." My friend, Jesus Christ is intimately concerned in your life and mine. He is very much in tune to what we are doing and not doing for Him. And there will be an account that we give. But not only will He remember it on that day of accounting, but He will remember it during this life as well. And I want you to know that God knows your address. He knows where you work. He knows what you need. He knows what we give. And God will remember what we do because He is a loving God who is very much involved in the life of faith that is expressed towards Him. So God will remember. That's simple, but here's the best part. God will reward. Now, I know someone's going to say, "You know, I'm glad this series is over next week. This sounds like preacher talk to me. God will reward." All right. Let's see if it's preacher talk or if it's God's talk. How many of you are interested in it if it's God's word? All right. What does it say here? In the last part of verse 6, "And that He is a what?" He is a what? God is the rewarder. God can move on the heart of a boss, on the heart of a king, on the heart of an entire nation. God is the rewarder. So here we see that God says, if you come to me in faith, and if you are diligently seeking me and believing in me as you exercise faith, I will reward that faith. By the way, the wise men were rewarded. They got to see the Messiah. They were some of the first to see Him. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you get to heaven, the greatest reward in heaven will not be the streets of gold or the gates of pearl. It will be the fact that you see Jesus Christ. The wise men were rewarded. The little lad, could you imagine this little guy? He gets to watch Jesus feed 5,000 people. Can you imagine? He's telling his friends about that the rest of his life. 12 baskets were left over. What a great day in his life it was. The widow's name is recorded down in the Bible while the others are forgotten off of the pages of the historical book. And we see time and again the widow at Zarephath, she is remembered. The meal does not run out. God remembered her. God rewarded her. And on and on and on the illustrations go. And I just thank God today that as we exercise faith, He rewards us. And those early days here at Lancaster, we were really like missionaries, home missionaries is what they would refer to it as. And that really meant that Terry and I were dependent on the love offerings from other churches to take care of our personal needs and rent and so forth. And so what we did in those days, on Wednesday night, I would often go preach at another church. And then on Thursday night, we had our midweek service here in Lancaster. And so I'd go to different places and hopefully, Lord willing, those folks that we would preach for that particular church would give us an honorarium or a love offering. And that's how we kind of lived for that first year. And I'll never forget this trip we took, or I took, up to the city of San Francisco. 6 or 8 hours to drive up there and got up and preached the message and did my best to preach in God's power. And after the service, I shook hands with the pastor. He gave me an envelope. I got into the car. I got out on the street a little way, heading back to Lancaster now. It's getting late at night. And to be honest with you, I was just a little curious about that envelope. So I reached into my pocket and pulled that envelope out. And how many of you understand what I'm talking about there? Just a little curious. Any of you get curious about envelopes like that? And I opened up that envelope. When I looked at the envelope, the amount of the check and the envelope would not have even covered the cost of the gas to and from San Francisco. And I know some of you think, man, Pastor's just this holy, godly guy that never has a down moment in his life. So he probably just rejoiced in the Lord that he couldn't even pay for his gas. No, to be honest with you, I was kind of bummed about that. That was a real bummer. In fact, all the way down Interstate 5, I was kind of grumbling and moaning and thinking of ways to try to get things taken care of. And somewhere around about Coalinga, God got a hold of my heart. And I just kind of gave that to the Lord. You know, when you have those kinds of burdens, it's just better just to give them to the Lord. No sense taking it home to mama or to work the next day. So you just have to give it to the Lord. And I gave it to the Lord. And we had church that Thursday night, soul winning Saturday and Friday, and church Sunday. And along about Monday or Tuesday the next week, I went to the mailbox. I opened up the mail, and there was an envelope from Boca Raton, Florida. I've never been there before. I've never been there since. I didn't know anybody from that particular area. And so I opened up this envelope, and I began to read the letter. And the letter said, "Dear Pastor Chapel, you don't know us. We don't know you. But recently, while we were on vacation in San Francisco, the Lord laid on our heart to attend the midweek service at such and such church. We heard you preach. We heard you tell about that growing area and the need for soul-winning churches. And the Lord just laid on our hearts to try to be a blessing to you. And inside of that letter, along with that letter, was a check for $500. You know what I learned? If I'll just keep going by faith, trusting God, if I'll just keep doing what God has asked me to do, He will be the rewarder. Now, we might think it's supposed to be the company or it's supposed to be this one or that one. But the truth is, God can reward us in His own ways, at His own timing. And we see that God will reward. That's what Luke 6:38 is all about. Give, and it shall be given unto you, the Bible says. Good measure, pressed down and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I heard about a family that was having a family drive the other day, and they were driving the downtown area. They went by a big, large building, and little girl named Susan, 4 years old, she said, "Daddy," she said, "what does that say up there on that building?" And her daddy said, "Well, it says, Jesus saves." He looked up, it was a church building, Jesus saves. Well, a little while longer, they're driving down the street, and the wife said, "You know, sweetheart, we need to stop at a bank and get a check cash and take care of that." And Susan spoke up immediately, and she said, "Well, why don't we go back to the bank we just passed where Jesus saves?" When I heard that joke, I thought about the truth of the matter, that to me there is no greater investment than an investment made in people's lives and in a place where people are getting saved, where people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the kind of investment that God honors. For the Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to show you just a little illustration of that this morning. You see on the left side, this is the Cisco Systems year-end report for the year 2001. And I think you get the picture, starting with 97, 98, 99, 99. The year 2000 was not a very good year for Cisco Systems. And not a very good year for many, many companies. And not a very good year in many investment areas. But I share this with you, and it could go on up if we were to look at this next year. But I want you to see that as we've invested in Lancaster Baptist Church, that we've invested not in computer chips, not in internet systems. We've invested in people's lives. And the great thing is not necessarily that it goes up. The great thing is that as we give to the Lord through the church, that God is taking this and He's touching people's lives for all of eternity. You see, for those of you that gave last year to Lancaster Baptist Church, you didn't lose your investment. It's going on for eternity right now. There were some 1,300 people that got saved here last year. So for those of us that gave to the work of the Lord and touched those lives, you can never take that away. And I'm not putting someone down for investment, because probably everyone in here that invests would say last year was a bummer year. But listen, what we invested, if you invested in Cisco last year, it's gone. But what was invested in heaven, it goes on forever and ever. Now, frankly, if that chart for LBC went down next year, I'd still give to the work of the Lord, because how do you put a price on one soul? So the illustration is not the growth. The illustration is people's lives are being changed. Now, I want to just say this, and we're done. Every one of us here, as far as I know, wants to please God. Every one of us here desires that God would be glorified in their life. And I want you to think about this with me and just recognize that if we desire to please God, notice what it says again in verse 6, and we'll be done. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And notice, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The priority of faith is very clear then. Faith pleases God. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, remember a moment ago, John 3:18, he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. If you want the forgiveness of your sins, you want faith to produce spiritual life for you, then put your faith in the right object. And the person of faith is Jesus Christ. And when we trust Christ, life begins. The priority of faith is clear. But then after we accept Christ as our Savior, the premise of faith is also very clear. We must believe that God is, and we must seek the Lord diligently. And then the promise is given. God says, when you seek me by faith, I will remember you and I will reward you. And my prayer is that this young church, just 15 years old, would be a church that grows in mighty faith, and a church that can say, we have trusted God, and God has provided. We didn't put our trust in one or two men. We trusted not in a denomination, but we put our trust in God, and God has rewarded our faith. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that you love us and you provide for us. Please, Lord, bless this invitation and touch every life is our prayer. Our heads are bowed this morning and our eyes are closed. And before